without further delay. Without further delay. Your guru. Your guide to a better life through real estate investing. Through real estate investing. Matt Theriault.
Hey, this is episode 49 of the Epic Real Estate Investing Podcast, and this is Matt Theriault, the rat race escape artist. Change one thing, one time, and you too can escape the rat race for good. And that one thing is stop focusing on making money and start focusing on creating cash flow. It's the new definition of financial freedom, and it can be yours too with just a change in your focus, just a slight shift in your focus, and then the action correlate to that focus. You got to take action on your new focus, but it starts with the change in focus. And if you want to get started today, I can show you exactly how I did it, and I'll show you for free. Go to freerealestateinvestingcourse.com. freerealestateinvestingcourse.com. Go there and download the free course, How to Do Deals, No Money Required. And I'll show you the two easiest and fastest strategies in real estate to start making some cash so you can turn it into cash flow. And that course is yours for free at freerealestateinvestingcourse.com. And by the way, I have a new coaching client who has completed his first wholesale transaction inside of 30 days using the exact process I show you in this free course. It's all there. You just have to follow the steps, move at the speed of instruction, and there's really no reason why you can't get it done too. So here we are, a little over a year and a half, this podcast has been in production, and it's been an awesome journey thus far. And right from the beginning, you know, I started to receive emails, a lot of emails, mostly of a skeptical nature. And then slowly these skeptical emails, they morphed into actual questions about real estate. And then I started to get really good questions, so I could tell that you were listening. And I would say in the last 6 months or so, I've been starting to receive emails of success stories. Success stories from real estate investors that are giving this show a great deal of credit for their success. For example, you know, last week I played you the audio of the video that Randall sent in about his first wholesale deal, of which put $12,000 in his pocket. And I've got to say, from where I'm sitting, it's extremely rewarding to receive that type of correspondence, and they're coming in much, much more frequently. And then very recently, I received an email of which the subject line read, "I did it," all in capital letters, big exclamation point, "I did it." And so, of course, I had to see, what did you do? So I opened up the email, and it came from Epic Pro Academy member Nathan Price out of Washington. And Nathan is not a coaching client of mine. However, he did sign up for email coaching, and that's an upgrade that you can select inside of the Epic Pro Academy. You can upgrade your membership and get email coaching. And so Nathan and I, we had exchanged maybe a dozen or so emails in his first few months as an Academy member. And then I hadn't heard from him in a while. I didn't know what happened. I stopped getting the emails until just a couple weeks ago. And I'll read this email to you. "Hi, Matt. I just wanted to let you know that I just completed my first of soon to be many wholesale transactions. Thanks to the principles I learned from you for negotiating and sending out yellow letters, I was able to make a $5,000 profit. This immediately made it real to me, my wife and my family and my friends. I instantly gained credibility with them. I had sent this particular seller two yellow letters over the span of a couple of months late in the summer, and it wasn't until mid-December that I received a call from her and went over to her house and negotiated and came out with a signed contract. After learning that the rehab cost was going to be more than I originally thought, I went back and renegotiated with the seller and got a $4,000 reduction in price. Man, I tell you, that call was sure nerve-wracking. But nonetheless, I overcame my fear, dialed her number, and got a reduction in price. The house was worth approximately $128,000, and I got it under contract for $68,000, and it needed approximately $15,000 to $20,000 in repairs. I then sent it over to one of my fix-and-flipper friends, and he gobbled it right up. So Matt, thank you. You have made my dreams start to become a reality based off the valuable information that I learned from both your podcast and your academy. Thanks again, and I look forward to keeping you up to date of the future success of Right Price Properties, LLC. God bless, Nathan Price." So thank you, Nathan. Thank you very much. And God bless you too. And congrats on closing your first deal. Congratulations. Thank you for sharing that with me. Now, I've got something very special for you today. I've actually got Nathan on the line. And Nathan and I have never talked before. We've never spoken before. mean, just a dozen emails or so over 3 or 4 months ago. So it's been even a while since we've exchanged emails. And I asked him to come on the show and share his experience on how he did it. Because first, so you can hear how a 29-year-old, he's 29 years old, full-time nurse, and he works graveyard, how someone like that is able to conduct a wholesaling business in their spare time. And second, I think he's a perfect example of someone that began not really knowing a whole lot about real estate investing, and he had all the same concerns that you have, all the same doubts and the same fears, and I mean, all the same stuff that comes along with being a new investor. And for those two reasons, I think there'll be a lot here inside this conversation for you to take into your own investing. Or, you know, maybe not. Who knows? I don't really know where this is going to go, actually. So let's just stop the rambling and let's get into it. Without further ado, Nathan, thanks for holding. And thank you for joining us here on the Epic Real Estate Investing Podcast.
Thank you, Matt. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you took time out of your schedule to make it here. And, you know, I just read your email that you sent me. I read that on the air, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But can you just kind of tell me and everyone listening about yourself and your background and what you do for a living?
Yeah, you bet. I live in Spokane, Washington. I just recently graduated from nursing school from Washington State University over here in Spokane. I got started with a job in August, and I've been working on the cardiac unit since. Now, before nursing, my wife's also a nurse, and that's why I decided to go into the nursing field. Before nursing, I was an insurance agent, and we actually owned our own little franchise. It was a little smoothie stand. And I've always had a desire to work for myself and to become an entrepreneur. And this really all stemmed from Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And, you know, just ever since then, I've always wanted to get involved in real estate somehow. So finally we were able to make the plunge by renting out our primary residence that we had, and it wasn't so much of a plunge that we took. It was just we moved in with our in-laws, my in-laws, and we're still there right now. And we decided to rent that house out. And you know, that was going really good. We had tenants in there, and we decided to get another rental house. So we contacted a broker here in Spokane who deals a lot with realtors, and we ended up picking up a house just by conventional means. So put 20% down, got a mortgage on a short sale, and picked up that house for $134,000, and it's worth about $190,000 right now. So we have lease option tenants in there, and we're renting out to them. We're making close to $400 a month in cash flow, and that really got our juices going. And we just really, really loved the potential, the built-in equity that we had there, and the cash flow that was coming in month after month. And we wanted to deal more with that. And, you know, that kind of brings me up to where I'm at right now. We still have that rental. It's going good. Now back to our business, nothing happened with that. We worked that for about a year and a half, and it was so much hard work, and it just didn't work out, and we ended up selling it and at a loss, and we're still working on paying that off right now. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was able to stumble across your podcast kind of mid last year, I think June, July or so, and you know, just really became enthralled with what you were saying, and later on I joined the academy. And And you know, six months later or so, I closed my first deal, on my first wholesale deal.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I was really excited to read that email, because I know you're not actually a coaching client, but you're part of the email coaching. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so we've been exchanging emails back and forth for a little while, and it was nice to see an email that actually came through, and where you got a deal. You weren't asking a question; you were telling me all about what you were able to accomplish. So that was very cool. So as far as being, are you still working full time as a nurse?
Yeah, I am. It's a rough schedule that I'm on right now. It's I'm working graveyard. I actually worked last night, and I've had absolutely no sleep today, and I've just been anticipating this call and returning calls that I've been getting off of my yellow letters that I've been sending out, and returning abandoned phone calls. So,
awesome.
I am working pretty much full time doing my nursing gig.
Okay, good. So you're working graveyard, and I actually just had somebody email me a question about them working graveyard as well, and if they would be able to actually do this. So I didn't know you worked graveyard shift, and so I guess you're a shining example that this is possible. But
it works.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so after 6 months and holding down a full-time job and working graveyard, what does your typical schedule look like? How do you fit your real estate investing into your schedule?
What I've been doing recently, I have a real funky schedule. I mean, I work graveyard, so I have 6 days on. And during those 6 days, I don't get a lot done. Now, fortunately, I'm able to work eight-hour shifts. So I still have, basically, I wake up at 4:30 and I go to work at 10:30 at night. So I have a chunk of time right there that I can dedicate. But I have a wife, an almost 3-year-old daughter, and a son that's due in April. April 17th is when he's due. So I definitely want to, I'm a family man, and definitely want to spend time with the family. So I try to certainly limit my time that I'm on the phone on my work day. So, you know, anywhere from like 4:30 to 6:30 is when I like to be making calls. When I have my days off, like today and the next 3 days, I like to go gangbusters. Last couple of weeks I've been sending out 100-200 yellow letters a week, and my phone's been ringing off the hook, and you know, I've just been working through those calls. I got a 5 o'clock today. I have a meeting with a seller, and I'm going to go see if anything's going to come of that. And then at 6 o'clock, I actually have a guy that responded to one of my Craigslist ads, just saying that he used to do real estate, he loves it, and he has money. So if I need any money, then I can talk to him about that. So I'm going to go meet with him, and I have a potential money partner there.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So in this phone call, you've mentioned, I've heard you mention bandit signs, and you've mentioned yellow letters, and now you just mentioned Craigslist. So what else are you doing to generate leads?
You know, that's basically it right now. I kind of have three different ads going on Craigslist. I have ads advertising for motivated sellers, and that'll lead them to a squeeze page. Or they can always give my cell phone a call. Then I have ads for buyers, mm-hmm. And then ads for pretty much bird dogs. I'm saying something to the effect of, I'm a real estate investor and I'm always looking for houses to buy. So if you know of anything, and I end up closing on the house, I'll give you $500. And I've had a lot of kind of success with that, whether it's potential bird dogs looking for deals. Actually, just real recently, last couple weeks, I met a fellow by the name of Chris, and I know Chris is going to be listening to this, so I just want to give him a shout out. Basically, he's been working with me. He's been writing my yellow letters for me. We've gone and hung bandit signs, and you know, I told him that any deal that I have come through directly related to bandit signs or yellow letters, I'll give them $500. And I mean, in the meantime, I'm going to definitely pass on my knowledge to him and answer any questions that I have and kind of help set him up on the path to becoming a wholesaler and just generating leads and of his own in this marketplace. So, that's been huge right there.
That's awesome. So you kind of set up an internship for him.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's
yeah,
very cool.
It just kind of happened that way. Yeah.
So he's putting up your signs and he's writing your yellow letters for you.
Yeah. He's been helping with signs and he's written about 500, 600 yellow letters right now. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you might have said this already. How did you meet Chris?
He responded to one of my ads. He said, I like what you're doing. I like your motto and I want to do it. So
awesome.
Help me out here and I'll help you out.
That's awesome. What section of Craigslist do you advertise for a bird dog?
Usually in, I rotate between just the for sale by owner for houses or just the under the job section, just the et cetera or the miscellaneous section.
Got it. Cool.
Yeah.
I like it. let's get to this deal that you put together. Let's get to your email. I've got it right here. Let me pull it up real quick. There it is. Got it. So let's see. You just completed your first wholesale transaction and you did it through negotiating and sending out the letters and you put $5,000 in your pocket. That's awesome. And there's one part you put here right in the beginning. It says, it immediately made it real to me, my wife, and my family and friends, instantly gained credibility with them. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, being so entrepreneurial driven, I've tried all sorts of things. I've tried several multi-level marketing or network marketing companies. And I know you've done those before, Matt. And you know, just for me, it hasn't brought any fruit. I mean, I was always talking to people and talking up this business and, you know, nothing would happen. And, with, again, coming back to my little, smoothie franchise that I did, you know, people saw that I took action, but really nothing came of that. I essentially quit doing that and, you know, lost credibility. And when I told people that I was, going into real estate and you know, becoming a real estate investor and wholesale houses and then be making a fortune doing that. I mean, I'm sure I had some people roll their eyes and just kind of chuckle at me. But as soon as I got my first deal under my belt, I mean, $5,000, that would take me several months of work as a nurse to generate that kind of money. And I did it in a matter of, I mean, it took me all of, I don't know, 3 to 5 hours to do. And I mean, I've been telling everyone that I possibly can about that. And just doing that one deal and telling them how it happened and what I did to make it happen. I was able to essentially redeem myself in a lot of their eyes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think that'll affect your business in the future? Regaining credibility with your network and your circle, your family, your friends?
Well, you know, it's just the fact that they're seeing me that I'm putting time and effort into doing this, and I've already had fruits. You know, I've already received fruits of my labor, and just putting more time and effort in it will yield yet more fruit. And, you know, just when I get to that point where, you know, I'm undoubtedly going to be approaching friends, family members, other acquaintances about potentially partnering on deals or being private money investors. I mean, I'll be able to have essentially a mini portfolio that I showed them. Mm-hmm. Hey, I negotiated this for this amount. You know, if I didn't wholesale it, this is what the profit could have been if I was going to fix and flip it or keep it and rent it out for the long term. So I think just doing this, doing what I'm doing right now and having the success that I've already had and having the success that I'm going to have is making it even more real for them too.
Right. Right. That's awesome. And it will help significantly whether you'll be cognizant of it or not, but just having the support of the people around you is going to definitely help you get that second deal done. I promise you that, and you'll notice it. So you got this deal off of a yellow letter, and you sent this particular seller, you sent him the yellow letter twice. What list did you pull this person off of?
Basically, I think I had, I went to my, on this specific one, I went to my title company and I just gave them a kind of my criteria, which was I wanted houses with, because the median house price here in Spokane is about 135 to 145, I'd say, maybe a little less. But I said I wanted anything from essentially zero to $200,000 and non-owner occupied. I think above two beds, one bath. And I think the mortgage origination date had to be before 2002 or, it was something similar to that.
Okay.
Just to ensure that there's equity in the house.
Got it.
So I wasn't getting a lot of calls, with, they didn't have any equity or they were over leveraged in their house.
Right.
So that's kind of how I got that specific list.
Perfect. So I've had a lot of people ask me, how do they find a title rep? How do they find a title company? How did you find yours?
Well, I just, to get this specific list, I actually went to, Stewart Title. I believe they're all over the nation, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. I think they're national, yeah.
Yeah, and Stewart Title, from my understanding, is pretty investor friendly. So, just talking to an escrow officer, a title officer that has plenty of experience just in the field itself and working with investors. Now I actually, there's a really big real estate attorney that's big into the investment group in Spokane here. So I spoke with him and he was actually my attorney escrow officer in this situation here.
Got it. Cool. And then you just gave him your criteria. They spit out a list and you started sending yellow letters to it.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. So you received a call. They called you off the yellow letter and you went over to the house. And then you did some negotiating and came out with a signed contract. So
yeah. Even before that, I looked at the comps in the area and I told her a rough ballpark of what I would be at, and it was roughly half, maybe a little more than half of the ARV for that house in the area. And to my surprise, she said, I think that could work. So I set up a time to go over there as soon as I could.
Right.
She was motivated.
That's awesome. What was happening in her situation that would have her agree to almost half the price of after repair value?
Yeah, that's a good question. She owned the house. Her mom lived in the house, and she actually grew up in the house. So it's kind of weird. I don't know exactly what happened, but I think maybe her mom owned it originally, and then she ended up buying it from her mom. But her mom was still living there. Anyways, her mom had recently passed away, and just given the circumstance, she just wanted to get rid of that remembrance of her life, and just kind of wanted to move on and just wanted to sell.
Got it. I asked that question because I frequently, from brand new investors, I frequently get an emailed question, or even in my workshops, it's the question of, Why would anyone sell you their house for half price if they could just go out and hire a realtor and get full price for it?
Yeah.
and the answer is just because life happens. You know, life happens
that's
to
right.
people, and they all sell for different reasons. And that's why I asked you that question specifically. And it was just because she had other reasons that were more important than getting full price for her house.
That's right.
It's awesome.
Yep. And she, you know, it's good that you mentioned that because she actually did talk to a real estate agent. And get this, the real estate agent said that, I think I could sell your house in the current condition for $110,000. And I could, you know, sell it within X amount of months. But she still wanted to sell to me just because I was able to close fast. I was able to offer her essentially no hassles and you know, no real estate commission. I paid closing costs, and it was just, you know, she didn't have to worry about all these people trudging through her house, and she didn't have to worry about making any repairs to her house or anything like that. So yeah, you're absolutely right. People have their different reasons for wanting to sell, and you should never, as an individual, you should never put in your mind that why would they ever want to sell to me if they can sell it to a realtor for full price?
Exactly. And
you don't know what their situation is.
Right. Exactly. You know, so many people go and they go, they're almost subconsciously negotiating on the seller's behalf against themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. There's just things out there that are more important to people than money. So, you know, if you can provide a service and alleviate them of a headache, they'd be gladly to exchange equity for that all the time. There's one of my instructors a while back, he said people will exchange peace of mind for equity all day long.
That's totally true.
And you certainly stumbled across that too. Absolutely. It's awesome. So you got the property under contract. And let me ask you, did you take a contract in with you at that time? Did you have it pre-written, or how did you do the paperwork?
I did. I brought in with me some, the contract, and I think my maximum offer was $70,000, but you know she was giving me the sob story that, you know, her mom died, and so I felt bad for her. So I said, okay, no, I think we can do 72,000. And then she even tried to talk it up more to 75,000. And I said, you know, 72,000 is, I don't even know if I can make that one. Let's just, you know, let's just do 72,000 right now. Cause I had an idea that it was going to, the after repair value was 128. I figured repairs were around 10,000. And you know, I did have my contract. I went in there and I explained the contract that I'm putting my name in there, but there's also the clause and or sign, because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if you know, I may have to assign this to my business partner who's going to be funding the deal. I don't know if I'm going to be closing on it myself. I just have to have that option available to me. And she was completely fine with that and went through the other exclusions that I had, or the out clauses, subject to appraisal, subject to favorable inspection. And, you know, basically I had all my CYA clauses in there that you talked pretty profoundly about. And yeah, we didn't actually sign it right there. I signed my name. I gave her the contract and I put the expiration date for, I think, 2 days, and she went home and talked it over with her husband, and she mailed it out to me that next day.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
I think it took me two or three days before I got the contract, and those were the worst 2 or 3 nights of sleep I ever had.
But that's awesome. You did exactly what I tell people to do is, if they're in for the deal or if they say no, it doesn't matter. Always leave the paperwork behind. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Cool. You're making me look like I know what I'm doing, Nathan. Thank you.
You know what you're doing, Matt.
Thanks, bud. So you got into contract and then you did your due diligence. You had an inspection, and I'm assuming that you had a contractor come in and give you a an estimate on what it would take to fix the property up, and what happened there?
Well, that first of all, the ARV, I was spot on. $128,000 was the max sell price. So I was like, okay, good. I'm good there. I have about, I think I had about $7,000 to $10,000 of profit built in. And I was thinking that everything was going to work out good, and I was going to get a fat paycheck at the end. And then the contract came through, and he said, "Yeah, I'm thinking that that the repairs are going to be around $20,000." Like, oh crap! Well, there goes a lot of my profit. So I took that information, and I had to call the seller back and renegotiate. And that was one of the scariest moments of my life. So I was hoping to renegotiate down to, I really wanted to keep that $10,000 or so of profit. So I wanted to renegotiate down to 62, somewhere around there. And I ended up going at 68, and that still worked out good. It was eventually that would have left me with a $5,000 profit.
Right.
Which is what I ended up getting.
That's very cool. So you had to call her back and ask for a price reduction.
That's right.
How did that conversation go?
Not nearly as bad as I thought it would go. I was still nervous as heck, and I think it showed through a little bit. But I was able to justify my reasonings, and it made sense to her, and she just said, okay, well, I can't go any lower than 68,000. And I said, okay, let's just do 68,000. They've been in there, and I ended up mailing out an amended contract to her, and she signed it and returned it, and I took it to my attorney and opened up escrow. Mm-hmm. Actually, escrow was already opened up, but I just had to get the amended document over there, and sure. It went from 72 to 68.
So that one phone call that you're afraid to make wasn't that big of a deal, and it actually made you $4,000.
Yeah, it did.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a way to look at it.
All you did was ask.
$4,000.
That's great.
Yeah, that's right.
That's fantastic. So the house after repair value is worth 128, and you got it under contract for 68, needed about 15 to 20 grand in repairs, and then you sent it, you had to wholesale this property now, you didn't close on it yourself. Who did you send it to?
So backing up to when I'm still currently advertising on Craigslist, but one of my very first calls that I got was from a guy named Jake, who is a big fix and flipper here in Spokane, and I know he's also going to be listening to this eventually. So,
okay.
I just want to say, Jake, thank you for everything you've done. We've become friends over the last several months, and we actually are part of a mastermind group together along with several other guys, and I know I'm getting off topic a little bit here, but every week we talk about just what's going on in our lives and just our different rocks, our different strengths that we've had throughout the week, so different wins, and it's a great session for goal setting, and it just brings so much power throughout my week. Mm-hmm. And Jake has been very instrumental in where I've gotten right now. He's bent over backwards and helping me. He's a young guy like me. He's 28. I'm 29, and he's had a lot of success doing what he's been doing. Just because he's essentially helped me out so much, I gave him first dibs on this house, and he came over and looked at it and liked it, and we ended up signing a contract for $73,000.
Awesome. So just from your your normal marketing efforts, putting up signs and yellow letters and putting up your Craigslist ads. I mean, you found yourself an intern in Chris, a bird dog that's helping you out, and he's doing your signs now, and he's doing your yellow letters. And then you found a great business partner, a member of your mastermind group in Jake, and you're just kind of building your team because you're active and you're out there in the market, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so easy. You just send out, you just do the little things day after day, and it starts compounding. It's just really cool to see. I mean, I've gotten so many calls just the last week off of different investors. Another guy that I got off of a yellow letter, he's not interested in selling his house. I should say I'm not interested in buying the house that he wants to, the price that he wants to sell for. But this guy has over 100 rentals in Spokane here, and you know, we have plans to do lunch sometime. So it's just being able to talk to all these people and either get them on my team or just kind of pick their brains through lunch or something.
Right.
It's been awesome.
Right. That's awesome. I love it. So you wholesale it to Jake. Has Jake completed his deal yet?
He's closed on it. Last I heard, it's almost completed. I'm really interested to hear the total rehab cost and what he ends up selling it for.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool. Well, cool. That's a very happy ending to your very first deal. I bet you're very happy that you got that out of the way.
Yeah, I am.
That's cool. And now that you're looking back on it, Nathan, was it really that big of a deal? Like all these fears that you had, and you look back on, like, do you kind of wonder what were you afraid of in the first place?
No. But you know, it's such an important process to go through that very first deal, because you have, during the whole process, you have so many doubts and, is this going to work? I mean, this worked for this person, but is it really going to work for me? And once it actually does happen for you, then it solidifies in your mind that yes, this is real. This actually works. And I just need to do those little steps every day, send out letters, return calls in a timely manner. And it'll work. And there's really nothing to be afraid about.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what I was trying to get at, was just, you know, you look back at all your doubts and you look at your fears, and once you get all the way through the process, you're just kind of like, wow, that worked. I did it.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Well, it's amazing.
I got to give you some really good news, Nathan. The second one gets even easier, and the third one gets easier, and the fourth one gets easier, to the point you just get better and better at this as you go along, and you start doing more deals, and you're going to start looking back at, and you're going to learn something with every single transaction. I mean, every single transaction, there's a lesson to be learned. To this day, I learn something in every single deal that serves me in the future. And then you'll start looking back on deals that got away and deals that you didn't close. If you'd only had the information that you have now back then, you know, that deal would have closed. And so what happens there is, you've got these yellow letters going out, you're getting your calls, and maybe you're just getting one deal out of 50 calls that you get. But once you start getting better, all of a sudden you're getting one out of 40, then you're getting one out of 30. And then you're pretty much, you know, you're closing every single person. You're able to detect right away whether this person's motivated or not. And you're going to close the people that you detect the motivation with. And those are the only people you're going to spend time with. And those are the deals that are going to close. And pretty much it just becomes second nature. But getting over that very first one is definitely the most challenging. It was certainly mine, and everyone that I've ever worked with, they've always said the same thing. So I am so happy to hear that you've made it over that hump. And, you know, so what do you have in the pipeline right now? What do you got going on right now?
Well, I have a lead off of a probate listing that I'm going to talk to. Like 2:30 right now. I have an appointment at 5:00. So I'm going to go see what's going on there. And of course, I'm going to bring all my necessary paperwork, contracts, and all that good stuff. You know, that is just the main one right now. Just lots of calls, lots of getting back to people. There's lots of, you know, with those letters, the yellow letters, it kind of attracts interesting people. I mean, just people are calling you to ask you how you got their information, and that's all they want to know. And so, it's kind of frustrating because you're excited they called, and then you call them back, and it's really nothing. So that's just what I'm working through right now, just working the numbers. And I fully realize that it's a numbers game, and I just have to do my part in getting through the numbers, and eventually the statistics will hold true, and I'll find my next deal, and I'll be closing on my next deal and wholesaling it to the next investor.
Awesome. No doubt in my mind that you will. No doubt. So,
yeah.
I guess, do you have any, I really appreciate you, sacrificing your sleep and coming on the show to share this experience. But, whenever I can cross paths with somebody and get to communicate and interact with somebody that has just done their first deal, there's so many important tidbits out there or in there for people that are listening that haven't done their first deal yet. So I really appreciate that and your grace and your generosity and sharing your experience. So thank you very much for that. Any last words or advice to somebody having trouble getting started, or anything that you want to say that you didn't?
I just started about 30 pages into the book called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. Have you heard of that?
Oh,
yeah.
I promoted inside the Academy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just on page 29, I mean, I'm sure you've heard this quote and many other students have. It's by Thomas Watson, the founder of IBM. The formula for success is quite simple: double your rate of failure. And, that's exactly what you have to do. It's just every unmotivated seller you talk to is just one person closer to finding that next person. And just, stumbling and just picking up the phone and sometimes making a fool of yourself, I mean, you're failing. But I think John Maxwell has a book called Failing Forward, and I really like that. Just that title, failing. I mean, that's exactly what you're doing. You're failing forward. You're making a fool of yourself, but you're learning and you're refining yourself. And there's nothing greater that you can do than that, I think.
Right.
Yeah, and it's all in your head, really. That's what it boils down to. It's just your attitude. You just need to get it in the right spot, and that's the hardest thing about this business, I think. I mean, so far for me, it's just the attitude. I mean, I found lately that I've had a poor attitude, and it's harder for me to progress forward. But when I fill myself up with good things and uplifting things, and that brings back the spark again, and that brings back the drive to do what I know I need to do to get the success that I want.
That's awesome. Well, cool. I'm gonna let you go, let you get some sleep, Nathan. but keep me up to date. Let me know when the next one closes, and we'll have you back on. We can talk about that one too.
Yeah, love to do that.
Okay.
Great.
Awesome. You have an awesome day.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, what do you think? What did you hear for yourself? How can you relate to Nathan? What did you like best about Nathan's interview? You know, there was some really great tips in there. I mean, and here's what stood out to me. One, Nathan is conducting multiple lead generation techniques. He's doing bandit signs. He's doing direct mail with yellow letters. He's doing Craigslist. He's got a little bird dog system he's working in. And my favorite, he's networking with the people that he's meeting through his marketing efforts. It's very important. You're going to find a lot of deals that way. I believe a while back, Alan Randall was on the show, and he expressed the exact same thing that he was doing. He has great success with that. You know, in the beginning, you're going to have to do it this way. There just isn't one method that's going to blow up your business. There's not just one lead generation method that'll support your efforts. You need to be running multiple lead generation engines. Number two, Nathan knows his investment criteria. So important. He's very clear on the type of property that he's looking for. And he connected with his title company, and he fed his criteria into the search query and got his list of properties. And in the list of properties meet his criteria. He knows what that investment criteria is. And I don't know if you heard, he had an additional criteria where he only wanted homes of which had loans generated in 2002 or earlier. He was looking for properties that had loans generated on them that were, no later than 2002. So 2002 or earlier. And so why would he want that? What's the reason that he would want that? Most of you probably can guess. You know, 2002 was just basically a few years before the market had crashed. And these properties are likely to have equity in them. They weren't purchased at the peak of the bubble, and then they rode the values down. These were purchased, properties before 2002 were probably purchased where values were still relatively low. And so they probably still have equity in them. And that's a great tip for you that are in markets that, you know, got hit really hard and you're finding an abundance of short sale type situations. I get a lot of those emails. People say, what should I do with these short sales? They're everywhere. And it seems like that. So that would be a great tip for you as far as when you're pulling your list of what who to market to. And also to add to Nathan's search, add homes free and clear to your list. Try that one too. That's what I've started doing in Memphis. And free and clear meaning they don't have mortgages on them at all. I just started doing that in Memphis, and I'm going to be doing that in my other markets in St. Louis and Columbus as well. And it's not necessarily, that list is not necessarily going to pull you motivated sellers. Maybe, but not necessarily. But it will pull you sellers who are able sellers. Sellers that don't need the bank's permission to sell. Yeah, but who owns their properties free and clear, you may be thinking, right? Well, you'd be surprised. And it's easy to think that, you know, if your market is full of short sales, everyone's underwater, nobody owns their homes free and clear. But what most people don't know is roughly one third of all homes do not have a mortgage on them. One third. They are owned free and clear. And what else may be difficult to believe is that there are more homes owned free and clear than there are homes underwater. That's what the numbers say. 2011 census. There are more homes that are owned free and clear than there are short sales, than there are homes that are underwater. So give that list a shot in your area. I have two coaching clients just this month that landed free and clear homes, and they were able to arrange very favorable seller financing for their deals. They're out there. There's a lot of them out there. You just have to market to them. Look for, when you're pulling your list from your title rep, look for properties or pull records that have mortgages originated prior to 2002. That's a good number. And then look for homes owned free and clear. It's another great list. And number three, maybe you noticed this or not, I don't know, but Nathan is building his business with just an hour and a half a day or so. And that fits right in with what I was saying on the last episode. Schedule your activities. Nathan schedules his activities. And now not only is he scheduling them, he's delegating many of those activities. And he's consistent with his activities. And it's why he's getting results. And further, you know, it took him 6 months to close a deal. It took him 6 months to get his first one. So it shows you that he has the other part of that equation also. Not only is he consistent, he is also persistent. He's done the right activities, and he's done them long enough to get the result that he was looking for. And, you know, everybody grows at different speeds. It took Nathan, you know, 6 months to get his first one done. And, you know, and some people do it in half that time, and some people need twice as long to do it. But the point is, as long as you do the right activities consistently and you keep doing them, you will get the result that you're looking for. And this logic comes from a book that Nathan had mentioned at the end of the phone call, The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. You've got to get that book. You have to get that book. That book has built my business. I mean, it is literally the secret to success. and has nothing to do with positive thinking or the law of attraction. Not that type of secret. The actual secret I'm speaking of. And it will work for real estate investing or anything else of which you aspire to greatness. Awesome, awesome book. It's a real life changer, actually. And not just a real estate investing changer. It's a life changer. That's The Slight Edge. The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. You can get that on Amazon. I've seen it there. You can get anything on Amazon. So it is available on Amazon. Go over there. And anyway, those were some of my favorite takeaways from my conversation with Nathan. And there are plenty more in there for sure. Absolutely. But those were some of my favorites. So a big thank you to Nathan Price of Spokane, Washington. Thanks for sacrificing what I'm sure is your very much cherished sleep to be here on the show with us today and share your story. Awesome. Very gracious of you. Thank you. Now, if you happen to have a question, comment, or concern that you'd like me to answer or address here live on the show, please share them with me on the Epic Real Estate Investing Hotline at 1-888-891-7203. That's 1-888-891-7203. And if you enjoy the show, it'd be a great favor to me if you just stopped by iTunes and left me a rating and a review there also. And I'd love you for that. Because I love to know what you think of the show, and I love to hear how this show has helped you. It keeps me going. So until next time, as a very wise person once said, never give up, for that is just the place and time that the tide will turn. To your success, I'm Matt Theriault, living the dream.
Thank you for spending this time with Matt Theriault and the Epic Real Estate Investing Podcast. When you have a moment, stop by iTunes to leave your comments and let us know what you think of the show. And if you haven't done so already, get started investing today by visiting freerealestateinvestingcourse.com. To access Matt's free course, How to Do Deals, No Money Required. Until next time. To your success.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.